You know how Allah is unseen? The angels are unseen. The life after death is unseen. Now, you might get people saying, okay, why can't we, and instead of us, you know, not being able to see, why just can't we see Allah, the angels, the life after death? Why can't we just see it so that we believe and become good people? Exactly. First of all, we will not be tested. You can't be tested when you see Allah for reasons that we're going to just mention. So what she said is correct, and we're going to add to that.
We should believe in Allah because of the Quran, not because we can see Him. So you should kind of like believe in Allah even if you don't have like Allah right in front of you.
Good. We'll add to that. First of all, there is a prophet who asked to see Allah. Who knows this prophet? Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he was used to be. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, can I get you guys to scoot here? Three of you. So I don't have to. You know, going back and forth. Okay. So, Prophet Musa, you guys aware of the story when Prophet Musa asked to see Allah? Prophet Musa asked to see Allah?
Yeah, I know.
What happened?
I don't remember exactly, but then eventually Allah kind of showed a part of him, but it was so bright that Prophet Musa couldn't even see it.
No, the story is different than that. What happened is that Prophet Musa, because he talked to Allah, he thought that he can ask to see Allah as well. So Allah said, you're not going to see me. But look at this mountain. Big, huge. Yes. Exactly. Just when the mountain saw Allah, it crumbled down into pieces. It literally crushed into dust. It crushed into dust. You know, this humongous big mountain crushed into dust. So what happened to Musa when he saw this? He passed out. Okay? He passed out. He fainted and not fainted, but just passed out. And then when he become awake again, he prayed to say to Allah, Ya Allah, please forgive me for this ignorant request. I repent to you for making this ignorant request. Forgive me. So Allah told him, Ya Musa, I have granted you the ability to talk to me. So, and I've made you the chosen one who talks to me. And I made you a prophet. So take whatever I've given you and don't ask for more. So what was he given? Huh? And being a prophet, receiving Torah. So said, I selected you for this purpose and I've given you that, so don't ask for more. Okay, so can we see Allah then? We can't. So one might say, okay, let's not, what would happen? Just imagine theoretically, what would happen? Just like she said, we're not tested anymore. What would happen if we see Allah? There would be no test anymore. Why?
Well, we'd feel kind of like, oh, Allah's right there. So it's like everyone will become Muslim. So sometimes when you're around non-Muslims, it's kind of a challenge.
so that challenge will also be gone, and the like idea of shirk will also be gone, so that's also part of the test. And like, it'll be like you have physical proof, so it won't exactly feel like you're being tested. It'll just be like you know what's going to happen.
Okay, who would raise her hand here?
Yeah, basically what she said, like, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, then you know that everything else isn't real, and you know that being a Muslim is, like, true.
Okay.
If you're given a test, you aren't given the answers for a reason because you've been tested. But if you know that Allah exists and if he's seen, then that really means that, like, oh, he's seen, okay, that's the answer. I've, like, completed my test.
Yes. Whenever you can see Allah, you can't be tested anymore. Why? For many reasons. Number one, you lose your free will. You lose your free will completely. Why? Because when you see Allah, you wouldn't dare to disobey Him. I'll give you a simple example. If you're driving your car and there is a police officer driving behind you, what would happen to you?
You would do everything like correctly, like you won't run a red light or you'd go slow or stuff like that.
Right, exactly. So you will be very careful, respecting all traffic laws. Why? Because the police officer, you can see the police officer behind you. Just now imagine you're seeing Allah, not a police officer, Allah. Would you dare to disobey Him?
No.
Would Allah allow you to disobey Him when you can see Him? So basically, you can't be tested anymore. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Because of the presence of Allah, because the ability to see Allah would not allow you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will keep you attached. And Allah will not allow you to disobey Him. Both ways. You won't be able to disobey Him, and Allah will not allow you to disobey Him when you can see Him eye to eye. Because Allah's glory is so much that you wouldn't even dare to say a wrong word or to do a wrong act. And also there is a, just like you said, there is to know and to believe. There is a difference between to know and to believe. To know, you know, like when you see Allah, then you know Allah's there. But when you don't see Allah, then you believe that Allah's there. Okay?
Yeah.
So when you see Him, it is to know. It is knowing. When you don't see Him, it is belief, to believe. Faith, yes.
Belief is, yeah, kind of like faith. It's more like you trust Allah. Like, it's like, let's say you have a friend who's like, you're trusting that you gave them, like, an assignment for the project. You're trusting that they're doing it. It's like you're having faith in them rather than just watching them like that, like, right in front so that they can see when they're getting their work done like that, so.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One question. Is there free will in Jahannam and Jannah?
No, your free will ends by death.
But like, what do you do in Jahannam and Jannah?
Jahannam, you get eternal punishment. In Jannah, you get eternal pleasure.
But like, what do you mean by eternal pleasure if you don't have free will? Do
you you're not being tested anymore. So the concept of free will doesn't apply.
Oh, you know? So like, you can do whatever you want, but you won't be tested on it.
Yeah. In Jannah, you would not want to do anything that is bad or haram.
Because shaitan will be gone.
And temptations will be gone. Bad temptations will be gone. So you will be, there is no choice because, you know, the only thing that you will be tempted to do or whatever, want to do, is to enjoy, which is not haram, it's halal.
So, didn't you say that, like, you weren't sure, but like, Jahannam, after some time, it's just going to dissolve into nothing.
Yes, there are scholars who say that, use the words in Surah Yunus, I think, Hud, that Allah, after a while, is going to just end the existence of hellfire and end the existence of the bad guys. And I don't think, I think this is true only for like maybe one or two levels, but there are levels in hellfire that are not going to be closed. Like the bottom layer of hellfire is there forever. The first layer, I know the first layer of hellfire will be demolished, or like Allah will end the existence of this first layer, because this first layer is for Muslims. for Muslims who disobey Allah, they go to the first layer. And then after thousands of years, they get out of there and go to Jannah. And there's nobody in this layer, so Allah will end the existence of this layer. Yes.
How many layers are there?
Seven.
Oh, like Jannah?
And Jahannam.
Yeah, but like, wait, so...
Jannah,
is the first one, the one you were saying, the one with the Muslims, then why would they be...
You're talking about hellfire.
Yeah. Then why would they be... shouldn't the non-believers be...
And the Muslims who commit sins, like a Muslim who killed, or a Muslim who stole, or committed adultery, mm-hmm. that goes to the first layer.
Wait, so what about those, like, really good, like, non-Muslims? So, like, they're Christians or Jews, and then they're, like, really good, like, by personality. They're helping the needy and all. So
well,
do they go to the first or the second?
Oh, I don't know if they're going to hell or not. What I know is, generally speaking, people who believe, people who make with Allah partners, okay, and don't believe that Allah is perfect and Allah is flawless and Allah cannot be divided, He is al-Ahad. Those people, if they don't believe in that, generally speaking, they are going not going to Jannah, they are going to hell. However, there are cases, many cases, many special cases that Allah, just like the one you said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge in His special way, not like His general rule. You know what I'm saying?
So is it true that all Muslims at the end will go to Jannah?
Yes. And this is when the first layer of hellfire would shut down. Okay? All right. So, how about not seeing Allah? Let's say, how about if we don't see Allah? But we can see, but why can't we see the life after death? To see what is happening to dead people. Are they going to, are they being punished, tortured, or going to hell?
The test will also be sort of gone then, because then if you know that if you do something bad, you're going to be punished, and no one wants to be punished or hurt, right? So they'll do like all the good things, so that they'll definitely like have a good life after death.
I'm going off on what she said. It's basically if you also, if you know the answer to that part of the test, or if you know you're gonna, if you're bad grade, you're gonna get to hellfire, which no one wants. So you're gonna actually try to go to Jannah. So.
It's kind of like you're living in fear now. So like before it was like people are working, like I wanna go to Jannah, I wanna go to Jannah, I'm gonna work harder, I'm gonna do good deeds to go to Jannah. No one really thinks, no, I mean mostly people are like, I wanna go to Jannah instead of I don't wanna go to hellfire. And like if you see only the hellfire, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh. And then you're just gonna be like, I can't go in there, and then you're just gonna be really scared and like it just won't work out.
So we can say that, just to summarize, we can say that you will lose your free will. Why? Because just imagine you're about to do something wrong. Let's say, for example, you want to drink a glass of wine. Okay? And then you're about to pick up the glass of wine. And then you hear somebody screaming in hellfire because of the punishment. Ah! Then you get scared. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim. And you go through, you know what I'm saying? You'll be too scared to have a free will. So how can you have a free will when every time, I mean, you hear those screams in graves, okay? Yes, over there.
So I was just saying that, like, what if it's not your intention? What if you do something, but you realize that afterwards you've done something, but you didn't mean it to be wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, about if like
someone could drink a glass of wine not knowing it was wine, but like then someone comes up to you and
you're like, oh, you drink that glass
of
wine. Would your intentions be?
No, as long as you're separate, like you didn't know it was bad. Like when my brother and I were little, we used to eat Starburst, you know, but we didn't know it was made of gelatin until our dad found out and told us about it.
Yeah.
So I'm really sorry, but it's not a sin because you don't know, right? You're not trying to do anything bad.
Yes. Go ahead.
Also, if someone else like gives you something, they're like, oh, this isn't bad for you, and then later you realize that it's not really your fault because you didn't know.
Yes.
So you can always just repent too.
Yes, I remember when I was teaching, I was a professor teaching in Evansville, University of Evansville. And then I went to a field, to a trip, traveled with the students. And then when we were sitting in the restaurant eating dinner, they ordered a margarita for me. And margarita had alcohol in it. I had no idea. I had no idea what alcohol is, I mean, taste and all of this. So I drank it and I felt very weird. But I didn't know what it is. And they were laughing crazy. And then I asked them what happened. They said, that margarita had alcohol in it. It's not my fault. They are the ones who tricked me into it. So back into what we've been talking about is that if you hear the screams of the people in the grave, then you won't be able to disobey. You'll say, Allah, you'll always be praying and scared. Yes.
But why can't we see the happiness of Jannah? Because that'll encourage us. So I don't get why we can't.
Same.
Because it's the same thing. For this, you'd be too scared.
You'd lose your will to do bad things.
But if you see the pleasure of Jannah, you'd also lose your will because you want that so bad.
Right.
You wouldn't want to sin.
Same thing. That it's, you'd be so... Jannah is so beautiful that you would be attached to Jannah and then you would not do any bad deeds because you lose your free will.
If you see like any small miracle, you would basically be losing your free will because you'd know that Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala is real. Oh, not miracles. Miracles is something else because people see miracles and they still disbelieve in Allah. And we're going to come to talk about that. Okay. Now, talking about seeing miracles, is seeing miracles something good or something bad? Let's start from here.
It's good for people who know that it's a miracle, so, because like they can, like they know it's a miracle, so like they know that what they're believing in is real.
Okay.
Like. I mean, a miracle helps you believe. So I like giving the example of Pharaoh. So when the sea split, he could have repented, but he didn't. And he just thought, oh, look at what I did. And then he just started walking in. So maybe if he would have just thought more about the miracle, he could have repented. But then he wanted to like show off, like, oh, this is mine. So in one way, I don't think miracles are, like, I feel like disbelievers who shouldn't really witness miracles because... Like, it might help them believe, but they're going to claim that they did it, so...
Okay. You're very close to what I want to say. Go ahead.
A miracle is bad and good because it's bad because, like, if you see a miracle but you don't believe in it, then that really is just saying that you don't believe.
That's
it.
Right. Miracle, seeing miracle is not it's not something good. It's something bad. Why? Because if you disobey Allah after seeing a miracle, then what happens? Allah will hold you to a different standards. Allah will have less tolerance on you. Allah will not give you the benefit of the doubt, sort of. So you have seen a miracle. There is an example in the Quran about people who asked for a miracle, and then they disbelieved after that, and they were doomed to the worst layer of hellfire. They are called the people of the dining table. See? They asked Allah to send them a dining table. Prophet Isa said, watch out. I mean, watch out what you're asking for. You're asking for a miracle. Once you see the miracle and disobey Allah, you're doomed. You're going to be held to a higher standard. You're going to be held, you'll have much less tolerance, okay, than anybody else. So if you see a miracle, so they said, yes, we want to see it, go ahead.
Have any miracles happened after Prophet Muhammad's death?
No. So now you see a miracle, you're doomed. For example, the people also of Al-Ma'idah. I'm sorry, we talked about the people of Al-Ma'idah. Allah said, if one of you commits an act of disobedience, okay, that actually the people started nagging Prophet Isa, please, we wanted to be certain that you said the truth and to eat from it and to get closer to Allah and blah, blah, blah. So Prophet Isa prayed, Ya Allah, give them a dining table. So the dining table went down And Allah said it's one condition. You eat, don't store. So you eat until you fill up and then walk away. Don't store anything. Okay? So they were happy first day and they didn't store, second day, third day. And then somehow doubt, shaitan made them doubt that this thing is going to come every day. So shaitan made them believe that this is not going to be every day. So what happened is that they start storing. Then Allah doomed them to the worst layer of hellfire. The worst layer of hell. The worst layer of hell with the pharaohs and the hypocrites. You know, it's the worst layer. I mean, it can't be worse than that. The bottom of the hellfire. Why? Because they asked it for a miracle and they disbelieved. Also, another example, the people of Thamud, when they asked Prophet Saleh for a miracle, okay? They were asking him to give him, to make fun of him and to give him a hard time. So they were not sincere. So Allah said, fine, I'm going to give them a miracle. So he gave them a she-camel. A she-camel so big that drinks, yes. What happened to them after they have seen the miracle? Did they believe?
No.
They didn't believe. Okay. So what happened? Allah destroyed them. Allah ended their existence. Okay. Allah sent them an angel who destroyed them, completely destroyed them. No, they flipped the town of the people of Lut. Oh, okay. I think.
Yeah,
was a yell. I think was a yell.
Yeah.
No, that's people of Lut.
Yeah.
They got a yell. The angel made a yell. And the yell of an angel was so powerful and so strong that it killed everybody. Everybody was like stunned. And they died. So they were destroyed. The Arab lords were asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Were asking Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them miracle. They were being childish. They said, "If you want to believe in Surah Al-Isra, they said, if you want to believe in you, show us that you can fly to heaven, and show us a book coming down from heaven. Okay, show us a book." Show us that you can fly to heaven and show us that you can bring us a book down from heaven. Show us that you have bracelets of gold. Show us that you have a garden with rivers, between rivers, and rivers flowing in the garden. Show us that you have a house made of gold. You know? They said they were asking Prophet Muhammad for these things. So Prophet Muhammad answered, he said, I am just a human. Do you expect humans to be able to do this? Who said that I'm other than human? I told you I'm a human. So, do you expect these from humans? You can't, you don't expect. He said, the only difference between you and me is that I received the revelations. But these things that you're asking for is, I'm just a human. They're not for humans. Go ahead.
The Quran is also a miracle, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, and we're going to talk about miracles of the Quran later on.
What about people who, like, I don't know, I've heard that some people have like Islamic dreams or something like that. I'm not sure really what. So is that considered a miracle?
No.
They say that if you see Prophet Muhammad in your dreams, that's how he looks like. But is that true?
Yes. Shaitan can't take the form of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can't take his form. Shaitan can't make himself look like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it is true. And there's a difference between miracle and karama. Karama means like something being something special, like getting something special. You know, like you just said, dreams come true or any of those of these things. These are not miracles. Go ahead.
I heard that like after like someone you really love dies, like they can come in your dream, and like if they're wearing like white clothes or something, you see like.
No. They can come in your dreams. They don't have to be wearing white clothes.
Wait, what?
You know, dead people can come to you in your dream. So many times I dreamed with a dead person in my family. You know, that wasn't a miracle. Now, How many miracles Allah given Prophet Musa? 9 miracles. Who remembers all these miracles?
This he talked when he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He saved.
I'm talking about Prophet Musa.
Prophet Musa.
Go ahead.
His staff turned into a snake.
Yes, that's one.
He was very strong.
No.
There was a light,
He puts his hand under his arm like this, and he stick it out. It becomes shining like sun.
Was he wearing his shoes?
No. Allah told him to take off his shoes, but when he's in the holy valley. But that's not the miracle.
He used his staff and then the seas.
It's splitting the sea.
Was it also the lake or something turned blood or something?
Yes, the river turned the water into blood.
Oh, yeah. He brought a swarm of locusts.
Locusts, that's right. Locusts and frogs.
Wait, this is the part where the angel of death came and then it would kill the firstborn children of people who didn't have the brain or something. Is the angel of death came?
No, it's not related. So we said frogs, blood, locusts, and lice. They can't stop. They did not stop scratching. And then after that, they disbelieved in Allah. So they are doomed. Seeing all these miracles and disbelief in Allah is doomed. Same thing with the children of Israel. They saw a miracle, these miracles, and they saw the miracle of when Allah cut roads inside the Red Sea so that they can cross. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. So when they come later on and commit and worship the cave, the repentance was to kill them. It's like Allah said, in order to forgive you, the ones who didn't worship the cave, the calf.
The golden calf.
Yes. The one who didn't worship the calf should kill the ones who worship the calf.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, that's how severe is the punishment. Why? Is that because they have seen a miracle. They have crossed the sea with Prophet Musa. They have seen a miracle with their own eyes. To come later on and worship a calf, that's a big problem. That's a lot of disbelief. So the problem is not lack of miracles. The problem is lack of what?
Belief.
Lack of interest. That's what it is. Okay? Now, Allah knows that when you see a miracle, you won't be able to keep up with this, with the level required from you. You won't be able to keep yourself at this level, right? So you, because that's a human nature, you can't really stay at this level. They're expected from you when you see a miracle. So it's Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy that we're not seeing miracles. Okay? And also after people see miracles and they disbelieve in Allah, Allah destroys them. Just like the people of Thamud. All right. Inshallah, I'll see you next week.